Welcome to episode 82 of the Breakdown Walls podcast.
I gotta sound like this forever.
Stop it.
Ouch. Now I sound like Stephen Hawking.
It's gonna work. I don't know why I resurrected that, but anyway. Wow. Welcome to the episode.
Only people that were around in like 2005 will understand that.
Yes, that's a deep cut right there. So welcome to the episode. We are going to have a actually pretty packed show. I was when I was putting together the outline today, I was like, wait a minute, there's like four things in each category.
Yeah.
So cool. Awesome.
Pretty good. It's gonna be good.
No interview this week, but that's okay because we had an amazing one last week. Yep. We will line up our next guest soon. Hopefully. Yay. I don't actually know who it is yet, so hopefully we'll figure something out. But anyway, I have some ideas for people I'd like to have on the show. So. And so does Sterling, as we all know. So.
Indeed.
So we'll see what we can do. So since we have a lot of ground to cover, including an unexpected... because I apparently didn't follow the schedule properly, Dice Awards to cover. let's get right into it with some games. Welcome to
Gaming News.
Alrighty then. So in this episode of Gaming News, we have quite a few things to talk about. The first of which is going to be the Dice Awards. But I'm going to qualify this by saying that I didn't get a chance to watch the whole thing. I did have another call thing that I had to do today, so I didn't get a chance to watch the whole Dice Awards. So what I wanted to cover was the highlights that I'm aware of. All right, so we started out... Well, I'm not going to cover like the whole thing, but I don't have a rundown or anything. I'm just going to like talk about some stuff. The Dice Awards this year were hosted by Greg Miller from Kinda Funny Games, Jessica Chobot, who has done a lot of things in the game industry, including I think she was on G4 actually as well for a while, and Kajakins on Twitter. I believe his name is Khalif Adams, if I have his name correct. I believe that's right. And he is a Black content creator who is also... The reason I bring him up especially is because he is also a fellow Game Awards 2020 Future Class member. Nice. So I love that. I love that. Like, since we all got inducted in the Future Class, I love just seeing success from the people in that Future Class. You know?
Yeah. Definitely.
So, you know, Future Class hype. Future Class hype. All right. So the highlights that I have are as follows. The Last of Us 2 won some more awards. They won Outstanding Achievement in Story. They won Outstanding Achievement in Animation. And they won... there was another one. There's another one. There was definitely another one there.
I apparently Steven, so I can't help you.
I know, it's fine. I apparently don't remember what the other one is, but I know that there were at least three. But anyway, another nice surprise from Dice is that Hades won several more awards as well, which I'm very happy about. I guess it's not a surprise, but it's like, it's just really, really cool. Like every time Hades is put on a platform, because it is an indie game, I'm just super happy. Like, I love the game already, and I'm really happy that it's holding its own against The Last of Us 2 in terms of like awards this year. So I'm happy for it. Hades won best outstanding achievement in gameplay design. It won Best Action Game. and it won Outstanding Achievement in for Indie Games as well.
Nice.
So at least three awards, probably more after I left. But yeah, Hades is killing it. The joke was that Hades was going to be the new Zelda Breath of the Wild this year. So Hades is killing it. They're awesome. Great team. And the cool thing, by the way, about the DICE Awards, just so everyone knows, the DICE Awards is an award show that is decided by other game developers.
Nice.
So what they do is they actually put together these round tables for, like, full of subject matter experts on specific subjects that you know they're giving out the award for, and they discuss those, you know, the reasons for these awards, and then they decide just like that. And the cool thing is, I don't know if they've done this in previous years, but this year they're actually going to publish the entire roundtable sessions that they had for each award on the interactive.com, I believe it's interactive.com website, or it might be interactive.org, so be careful.
Cool.
Yeah, so you can actually watch the full, I don't think I'm gonna actually do this, but I think it's neat that you have the choice of watching the full roundtables that were done for each award to decide, to see who was involved, first of all, and how they came about to deciding on a winner.
Yeah, so, that's really neat. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a neat idea. Tis a neat idea. So that's basically all I caught at the DICE Awards. All that stuff took about an hour because they actually showed edited, kind of clipped down versions of the roundtables before they announced each award. So each award takes a lot of time. So I didn't get very far in an hour. Yeah. But you know, it's cool. The Last of Us won some awards, which is awesome because, you know, that's our game right there. Hades won some awards, which is awesome because Hades is awesome. I also want to give another nod to 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim.
Hey.
Did not win an award, but I personally still respect games that get nominated. And once again, 13 Sentinels was one of the games that was up for best story.
Nice. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So congratulations to 13 Sentinels as well.
So good. That was such a sleeper. I don't know about sleeper, but like,
it really was a sleeper hit. I think it
like,
was.
Like, because it kind of came out of nowhere. Just like,
yeah. Only the Japanese knew how good it was for a whole year.
Yeah.
And finally we learned.
Yeah.
Man. I still need to continue my off-stream playthrough, but I just don't have the time. I've been so busy lately.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's a good thing.
Well, that's a good thing. Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing, but still. I miss 13 Sentinels a little bit. Yeah. All right. Next up in gaming news, we have a tremendous positive thing to talk about, folks.
Yes.
PlayStation has reversed the store closure of PS3 and the PS Vita stores on console.
Did not think that was going to happen.
I didn't either. I thought they were going to stand by, you know, their whole ideal of, and especially with what Jim Ryan said, where he, you know, apparently had said quite a while ago that he didn't understand game preservation.
Yeah, and he doesn't understand why people would play old games or something like that.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. And I thought it was going to happen, but it turns out, once again, PlayStation is indeed listening to feedback. And
I also wonder if they got some pushback from investors, too.
Maybe.
Maybe investors saw like the backlash and were like, oh, maybe we should...
Yeah, the backlash was huge.
Yeah.
Huge. So, yeah, they're not closing it. Now, to be clear on this, one closure is still happening.
Yeah, the PSP.
The PSP store. Now, I kind of have the same reaction as you, Sterlock. Here's why I'm okay with that specifically. Because when the PSP came out, even during the PSP's time, digital purchases weren't particularly common. And I'm not saying no one bought digital PSP games. I'm saying it definitely was on the lower end of the spectrum for PSP. Yeah. I think more people got their UMDs. Physical.
Yeah.
Yeah, most people got their UMDs and they're happy with it. And the PSP Go, which was the digital version of the PSP, totally flopped because it was kind of before people were really ready to embrace digital purchases.
Nobody wanted the PSP Go.
Yeah, nobody wanted it. So I think that one's all right. I think that's handleable. Yeah. to those who purchased PSP games digitally, plus, I'm sorry, but
plus, PSP is apparently just super. I mean, it has been easy for a while, for a long, long time to hack, but like now, apparently, it's just like,
oh yeah,
trivial.
I imagine it is. I mean, they're not updating it anymore, so.
And I'm pretty confident that like all or most of the digital only stuff you can find them if you
you probably could find them. That's probably very fair to say, in fact.
And the PSP is very easy to emulate nowadays, so
yeah that's true too.
PSP emulation is really good.
Yeah man.
So
Riviera hype. Yep, indeed.
I love Riviera.
Yep, I can't. I'm happy that it sucks that I never finished the little bonus thing, but I'm so happy I beat that game.
Yeah,
finally.
Nah, Hades is bull crap. Like,
yeah, I was like, gone. let's just go. Like, if we did all right.
Yeah. Yep.
It was fun though. Riviera was a blast.
Yeah, it is.
All right, so. That's some great news to start off. Well, we didn't start off with it. We started on Dice Wars, but still, it's great news. Next up, talk about something that really came out of nowhere. I'm going to say it the way I wrote it down, because this is how I want to react to it officially on the podcast. PlayStation Plus Movie Pass?
Yeah, I heard about this morning, and I was just like... Didn't you just close your...
They announced the closure of the video, like live, like the video on demand service. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, what? What are you doing?
And yet, according to the information that we have so far about this thing, that it's going to be live until 2022 at the very least. Like, I guess this is a trial period, a trial year of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, 2022. And
I think I've also heard, I don't know if this is true, but I think it's just a rumor, but I think it's, you just get this if you're subscribed to Plus. I don't think it's an extra thing.
Yeah, no, it's like, if you have PlayStation Plus, you have this and you have access to whatever movies they put in it. Huh. So interesting.
Okay.
I think this is a weird decision from Sony.
Sure, I guess. I don't know. It's silly.
It feels like a weird decision because Sony has been the one that has been more focused on the game. So, yeah, I mean, for a while they were trying to promote the video on demand stuff, especially when they had their own TV shows like Powers that were on the PlayStation service.
Yeah.
They were trying to promote that for a little while, but like it hasn't really been a thing for them in a long time.
This just seems unnecessary. I don't know. Like
it seems out of nowhere from more than one perspective.
Yeah, like you already have Netflix. You've got like pretty much all the streaming services on PS5 now.
Yeah, I can't imagine them competing even a little with these with the other.
No. I mean that's probably why they're giving it away with Plus, because they know they can't expect
they can't charge more.
Yeah,
I guess
people aren't gonna. I guess, but I don't know. It's just it seems so unnecessary and just. Like, okay, why?
Now, this is one of those things that I will bring back later because there's an accessibility perspective on this that I wanted to cover. But for now, I just want to say that maybe you're right, Sterlock, and maybe as an additional offering, an additional incentive to get PS Plus in the first place, maybe it'll be okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people will take advantage of it, because a lot of people have
Plus anyway, so it's just
I just don't know how many people will take advantage of it. I mean, I guess it depends on the content. You need to put some good movies up there.
I'll look at it when it comes out and see what they've got. But
yeah.
But I don't see myself using it a whole lot.
Yeah, I don't really either.
But Netflix is a thing, you know? Like,
right, and so is HBO Max now.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, tomorrow really is Mortal Kombat.
Oh, that's a great word.
Mortal Kombat. Oh.
So good.
So moving on. We're not done with Out of Nowhere yet. We're not done with that. No, we're not. There was some news. I believe it was yesterday. Yes, it was yesterday. And it rocked me to my very core. All right. As you all know, I am now, thanks to my playthroughs of the Phoenix Wright trilogy, I'm now a huge fan of Phoenix Wright. Yep. Well, it turns out that we're not done. Oh no. Because yesterday, a 3 minute plus announcement trailer for the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles has dropped.
This looks so good.
I can't believe it.
This looks and so good.
I was so surprised. I was like, wait a minute, are you serious? And here's the crazy part. There's voice acting in some of those clips.
So I figured out what that might be.
Okay, do tell.
Apparently there is a more cinematic mode type deal where you don't really like solve the puzzles. You're just like going through the story.
Really?
That might be what this is. That might be why the voice
acting. But you're saying, you're implying that there's only voice acting if you're doing that.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. That's just my guess because
here's the funny thing. If you're right, I won't be surprised, but I really hope you're wrong.
Yeah, I hope I am too.
Then again, if you are right, and that's what the voice acting is for, then at least I still get to be Edgeworth.
Yeah. Well, no, you don't. You know why? Oh, you didn't look at the no, so you don't know. You didn't read the description.
But Edgeworth has a voice in there, so he's in there.
It's not Edgeworth. I thought it was too, and then I read the description because like, oh yeah, that's totally Edgeworth. Like
I thought it was like, too.
No, this takes place in 19th century. It's both games. They take place. I think one takes place in 19th century Japan, and the other one takes place in 19th century England.
Oh.
And that's why we have Herlock Sholmes in there.
So it's not even. Oh.
Yeah, it's a prequel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't look that at all. No, I just watched the trailer, and that's as far as I got.
I thought it was like a couple of the other games too, but no, these are. I don't remember what platforms these were on, but originally, these were games that only came out in Japan previously.
Man.
And now they are completely localized. Dude. So this is actually an even bigger deal because these are brand new games essentially
for Americans. Yeah. 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 They're brand new. That's awesome though. Yeah. That's still
so
awesome.
It's even cooler.
So it is cooler, but now I realize that my tweet about this, that when I shared the trailer, is technically wrong. Because my tweet says Phoenix Wright is coming back to my stream.
Yeah, it's actually not Phoenix.
It's not Phoenix Wright at all.
I forget the names of the protagonists, but
man.
Yep.
I mean I can deal. It's still the same.
Yeah, it's still gonna be great.
Yeah, it's still gonna be awesome, but like okay. All right. I'm ready for this. So I should have looked this up to confirm, but so I asked you when you thought the release date was, and you thought it was sometime at the end of July.
I believe it was like July 21st or something along those lines.
July 21st. I think that's a good time for me too. So I think that works really well. Because I want to dive right into it when it comes out. So
yeah, definitely.
So that's something we'll be doing. Phoenix Wright is not coming back to my stream. However, Herlock Sholmes definitely is.
Yep. I love it.
Dude, it's going to be great.
So apparently that the Herlock Sholmes thing is more due to copyright and just the way Arthur Conan Doyle's estate is with going after people using Sherlock Holmes.
Yep.
That's why Enola Holmes is a thing. But honestly, it still makes sense within the way that the Ace Attorney series is and the way they do like puns and things like that. So it's it still totally works.
Totally. I love it. I'm a big fan. I love
it. If you didn't know the copyright stuff, you wouldn't have even really guessed that was a thing. Which is like, oh, you know, they're just being silly because that's what they do.
Right, right. Yeah, that, I would have just assumed that. Yeah. Yeah. So the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles, I'm ready for it. Let's do more Ace Attorney stuff.
It's going to be great. I can't wait.
Who the heck knows if I get to do voice acting or not? Because the voice acting could be in any one of these modes.
Clearly, I mean, clearly in the trailer, you were still hearing plenty of...
Like, I was, but I was thinking, like, are we absolutely sure that none of that was, like, comparison? Like, this is what the old game was like. And this is what the new one is like.
Yeah, I don't know.
So... who knows? But we'll find out. Yep. You know, if there's voice acting to be done, it shall be done. I'll tell you that right now.
Yep.
I am ready for it. Alrighty then. Next up in gaming... oh, I wrote squee there, by the way, in the outline.
Yes, that's an appropriate reaction, I would say.
It is. Next up, the SharePlay bug update. Yes, I've been talking about this for the past 3 weeks on the show. And now it's time to give you the latest news. And the latest news is this. It's fixed. That's right, folks. Figure this one out. Here's why I love this, okay? So this bug happened. And when I reported it, clearly PlayStation did not know about it because they set it up to engineering, who then had to recreate it and so on and so forth.
Yep.
But based on how much time has passed... not much is what I'm getting at here. I do not think that they implemented a fix, quote unquote, in the latest update. I don't think this bug, based on the amount of time that passed between when I filed the bug report and when the latest PS5 update came out, I don't think that it ever got that far.
Yeah.
Which is why I love this, because it's a bug that both they didn't know about and was unintentionally fixed. So here's the deal. This, I can't confirm this, but I pretty much 90% believe this is the case. So the latest PlayStation 5 update, which we talked about last week, adds support for PS4 users share playing with PS5 owners. So if you're on PS4, you can still share play now with someone that's on their PS5. You can play their games. You can actually play their PS5 games via share play and vice versa now. You couldn't do that before. Now you can. I think that implementation is what fixed this. I think when you share played PS4 games on a PS5 before this update, it confused something with the PS5.
Yeah.
And made it think that it was trying to run like on a PS4 or something. I don't exactly know. But the point is, now that they're like cross compatible, now there's just no conflict.
It just
erased the conflict.
Yeah. Coding is weird.
Coding is weird. But I think that's probably as close as we're going to get to an answer for why it happened.
I mean, the important thing is it's fixed.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And because it's fixed,
yay!
Officially announcing Diablo 3 is coming back to the stream.
Yay.
And that's going to happen tomorrow. And also, Sturlock, if you want to be involved...
I will, definitely.
Yeah, you're welcome to join us. Cool. We're gonna stream it tomorrow. The reason we're streaming Diablo 3 and not working on like the choice script thing and or playing Hellhunter is because this week I had to pick one thing.
Yeah.
Because...
D&D is happening.
D&D is on Saturday.
Yep. Yep.
So I decided let's go with Diablo 3. And we'll do the other things next weekend. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad this is fixed. It revitalizes my excitement about the season of Diablo 3. It makes me, you know, happy that I can now safely... I now know that I will indeed be running my wizard build that I wanted to run, that I'm really excited about. I'm just going to say this again because I like saying it. 150,000% weapon damage.
That's insane. I love that. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, and let's not forget, it's the mirror image build, so it's done by 5 copies of you.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Ay-yi-yi. I can't wait to run it. See, the thing is, when this bug happened, we haven't even gotten to level 70 yet. So Sturlock, I'm level 23.
Oh, geez, yeah.
So don't worry about it. Like you'll be fine.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So
I just gotta figure out what I want to play, what build I want.
There's a couple of good ones. You could be. Let's see. Well, like first of all, if you like. Just ran the same wizard build, I wouldn't care, you know.
I almost want to
do what you want to do.
I've never played a wizard before,
but I will say this just throw it out there. I'm not telling you what to do, you be whatever you want, but I will say this: the Whirlwind Barb is now the best barb build. It's the top tier barb build. I believe it's considered A tier.
Nice, so
that's a good one.
Barb is fun.
Whirlwind Barb is fun because you just press hold R2 and win. Like that's how that build works.
I'm kind of down for that too. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's another option. I think it's Rothma Necromancer is also pretty high up there this season. Yeah. There's a lot more considerations this season, Sturlock. A lot of builds change this season because of the whole follower upgrade, the entire system being upgraded. So there's a lot more considerations to take into account now.
Yeah.
Like now which follower you have really matters. Like for my build, cooldown reduction is super important because I need cooldown reduction on explosive blast as much of it as I can possibly get.
Yeah.
And one of the Enchantress's new skills is just flat 20% cooldown reduction passively to you.
Jeez, that's really good.
Yeah, so she's for that build, the Enchantress is necessary.
Yeah.
So yes, that stuff matters now. So there's a lot of considerations to make. Build guides had to be updated like all across the board because of the follower thing.
Yep.
But yeah, if you know, whatever you choose, we'll figure it out, man. We know where to get the build guide. So.
Yep. Nice.
Alrighty. It's now time. Well, unless you have another thing for gaming news, but it's time to move forward, I think. unless there's something else that I'm forgetting about gaming news.
Nope.
There's not. I didn't forget anything, really. Just kidding.
I don't think you did, no.
I've covered every single bit of gaming news that happened this week, every single thing. Without forgetting a single. Okay. That's good. I'm really good at this this podcasting thing then. All right. Let's move on to
accessibility news.
Welcome to Accessibility News. On this edition of Accessibility News, we begin with the retread, the going back to the PlayStation Movie Pass, PlayStation Plus Movie Pass news item. The other half of this, especially for blind users, is I don't care because I really don't see them caring enough about this to add audio description to anything.
Nope.
So
I don't either. I mean, picking things will undoubtedly be accessible.
Yeah, because of the screen reader. Yeah,
screen reader, but yeah.
But I don't know if I would want to watch anything there.
Yeah.
Because like look at Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime, Prime Video now has over 2,700 titles with audio description. I mean, it's actually in the lead now.
Wow.
The big news story as far as that goes is they actually added 500 of those titles, 500 of those things, that 500 of that 2,700 plus that I mentioned were added in March of this year.
Whoa.
500 things.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about the funny audio description thing? That I wasn't there for it, but
do tell.
Ray told me about it. So she has another blind friend that she watches things with once in a while.
Yeah, I think you told me about them.
And they watch House. And she does most of the describing, but every once in a while, she'll, like, if she needs to get up and do something, she'll put on the audio description.
Yeah.
And apparently, House is one of those shows that
TTS described. I know. Yes, I've been watching it too, so I'm actually already familiar with that.
Yeah. So apparently, it mispronounced the word tourniquet.
Really? It pronounced
it as tourniquet.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
So yeah.
Oh, silly TTS. You know, that's funny because. So if we get into the discussion of TTS doing audio description, it's a whole other topic. That aside, the TTS they're using isn't a bad one. It's actually like if you're going to use a TTS, they could do worse. The TTS they're using is, believe it or not, the same one they used for The Last of Us 2.
And that's a pretty good TTS.
Yeah, but it's funny that it mispronounces tourniquet.
Yeah, at least it's not. Is it Plex Talk or Flex Talk?
Yeah, I think it's Flex thing? Talk. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, that was horrible.
Yeah, that's awful. It's awful. But yeah, so you know, it could be worse. But at the same time, I definitely have opinions about that.
Yeah.
I actually have considered. I probably will do it. I'm actually considering writing a blog about that because I've watched almost the entirety now. I'm on season 7. I'm doing a rewatch of the Friends TV show because I love Friends. I just do. I unapologetically love Friends, along with Rugrats. Great. But anyway, I'm on season 7. I'm doing a complete rewatch, and Friends is another case of TTS audio description.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just chosen to watch it anyway because I love the show so much. But watching it, I think, has been good for me because it enlightened me as to a few things about audio description when it is done this way, and I think I'm gonna blog about that later. So that's gonna be a fun project. All right.
Yeah. So Ray and I have been watching. Speaking of audio description, too, it's the perfect show for it too. So on her lunch breaks, now over the past few days, we've been watching Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Oh yeah, I've been watching that off and on.
Because I've never seen it, and she's watched it like a bajillion times.
Yeah, I've never seen it either until now.
I like it so far. We're on episode 8.
Oh, yeah. You're further ahead than me. Then I'm on like episode 4. I like but it though. I like it too good. Though. Yeah,
and the audio description's good. And yeah,
yeah, I agree. It's very good. It's very good. I do need to pick that back up and watch it. I've been all over the place with content lately. Mm-hmm. What I tend to do is I'm really weird when it comes to content. I go through phases. Yeah, I go through phases where all I want to do is read books. And I've just been in one of those phases. Like lately I've read like 4 books in the past, like couple weeks or months. I did a reread of The Outsider for my Patreon review, which was crazy to me because I just finished the third You novel, and I just jumped right into a Stephen King reread. You know, that's what I do.
So, as you do.
Yeah, as one does. So yeah, I go through phases. Sometimes I just want to read, and sometimes I just want to watch a specific like group of shows. And you know, so like Avatar, I do like it. I'm not watching it because I don't. I'm just not. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to absorb the whole series yet. And the funny thing is, that probably sounds weird coming from me because I do these reviews like every week. So clearly I do absorb series all the time. But I feel like I need to be in the right mindset for Avatar specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is cool. But I do like the show. But yeah. Back to the main topic at hand, PlayStation Plus Movie Pass. I don't see it. I don't see it getting audio description, not even a little bit.
No.
If it did, I'll go ahead and be shocked. But I don't see it.
I like your in the outline, you're just like PlayStation Movie Pass.
Yep. Yep. I, there's a bunch of dot dot dots in there. Like, nope. I'm just like, nope.
Nah.
You know, I'll check. Like, is it supposed to be out? Like, I thought it was supposed to be out as of the 22nd, which is that's what the thing said. And I don't
know.
I haven't seen anything like related to it today. Like, I don't know. Maybe I should turn on the PlayStation and see if it's there.
I have no idea. My Switch is currently holding all my gaming attention at the
moment. Yeah, I know. You haven't even gotten MLB yet.
I know. I've been playing, I've been focusing on Pokemon Mystery Dungeon and Sword, and I've been doing raids.
Yeah.
I'm doing raids in Pokemon. Like, it's so much fun.
I mean, that's great. And I'm glad you're having fun with it. I'm actually really excited to go back into MLB though. We'll talk about that in a second though.
Yeah,
because that's actually another topic.
I watched right MLB down, so. Play it this morning and just I want it.
Yeah, yeah. So the next topic for accessibility news today is Rosemary's Fate. And here's the thing about Rosemary's Fate. It appears to be falling into the trap that I was worried that it would fall into. And the problem with this is I have this same reaction every time a developer says something like what this developer has said, which is Rosemary's Fate is the first dynamic audio game.
No, it's not.
It's my reaction immediately was clearly... You think that you're the first developer to make an audio game. Clearly, you have never played an audio game.
Would you like a list?
Would you like a giant list? And the reason I say it fell into the trap is because you can tell based on the way this game functions. If I tried the demo, there's a demo for chapter one, and I tried the demo for only a couple minutes, and it only took me a couple minutes. Plus, this is also coming from my Discord server where Chaosbringer has also tried the demo and has said things about it. But I did try the demo to confirm this. The controls are super clunky. It is a game where you turn left and right, but when you turn, it's always a 90-degree turn.
Oh, God, no.
So, yeah. So it's one of those. And just to give you an idea of how clunky
if you're going to do that, you might as well just have a grid-based system. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But like,
I agree. But get this one. All right. Here's the greatest example of why the controls are clunky, and it's the first thing that happens. It is the first thing after you complete the tutorial, and the story actually starts. The first thing you have to do when you have control is run away from something. Now, you would think that to run away from something, you would, I don't know, hold the up arrow, right? To move forward and run.
Yeah. Yep.
Nope. Because you only take one step every time you press the up arrow, and holding it doesn't count.
Oh, no. It's one of those.
You have to tap the up arrow to run away.
No.
And that applies to normal movement, too. Once you're done running away, just moving around the world, take one step, tap again for another one.
God. I'm trying to think if there are sighted games that do this, and I don't think there are.
I don't think there are either.
I don't think there are any.
No game should do this.
Oh, my God. Why did you think... Oh, no. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, and the audio engine isn't exactly 3D either. So the first thing I did
like fake 3D that thinks it's 3D and just not.
It's like wide stereo, I think is the best way to describe it.
Yeah. Okay.
Because so here's what I did, and you'll understand why I did this once I explain this. The first thing I did was when they told the game tells you to run away. It says you need to run away now. You know, think basically the equivalent of that. And so what I did was I turned around because I heard a sound in my center channel of something approaching.
Yep.
But it was in the center channel. It wasn't, it didn't sound like it was behind me. So I thought it was in front of me. So I turned around and walked right into the thing I was supposed to run away from.
Oh, it's one of those where you don't know if a thing's in front of you.
Yeah, or it never sounded like it was behind me.
Oh, God.
Yeah, at no point did it sound like it was behind me. So, first thing I did was die. So, you know, but then I got it. But then, you know, it's just it's not encouraging.
No.
And the thing is, like, even. So the voice acting in the game isn't great, and if you watch the trailer, you already know that.
Yeah, it's kinda, it's. I mean, I don't know.
It's not just the accents. It's they don't deliver tonally very well either.
Yeah.
But even if you put that aside, like, the good thing about the game is the audio design itself. Like the actual sound effects sound really cool and great, and even the music is actually pretty good. But. And it was for those reasons that I was still kind of excited about this game, but now not so much.
Yeah,
because this is made by a developer that clearly has not played other audio games, thinks they are making like their game is innovative, when it's really just like a Blind Legend movement controls but less. yeah. It's unfortunate. It really, really is.
Yep.
So not really looking forward to that one, sadly. I don't know if it's going to be possible to give them feedback and tell them all this stuff, but, as it is right now, it doesn't look very good for Rosemary's Fate. Rosemary's Fate doesn't look particularly promising. See what I did there?
Speaking of disappointing, I've already stopped playing Sonar Islands. I just don't care.
Yeah,
I just don't care. I'm actually considering deleting it from my phone. That's how
I care about it. You know what? I was gonna write that down earlier this week in the outline, and I've already gotten to the point where I haven't even been thinking about it that much. Yeah.
No, it's my worry was confirmed in that it's as shallow as it appears.
Yeah, and the problem is here. I think this might be the main problem with the game. Sonar Islands heavily promotes not playing it. Think about it.
Yeah, it does.
How do you build your gold in your treasure chest? By not playing.
Not playing.
What do you have to do every time you do five attacks?
Not play. and you can't even get your attacks back with diamonds too, which was actually what I was expecting.
Nope.
All diamonds do is just shorten your
upgrade times and stuff.
Upgrade times, like. Well, that's kind of silly. Like,
yeah, it's yeah. I'm sad about it because I like fear.
Yeah, it's fear so was good. Fear was good.
Fear promotes playing the game, and Sonar Island promotes not playing.
Yeah, it's just. Yeah.
I don't know if it's like a server cost problem, but Sonar Islands isn't very good.
No.
I don't really have a desire to go back to it already. Only after a few days, I don't really have any desire to go back to it.
Nope. And Night Manager continues to be awesome.
Yes, it does. By the way, I'm level 900 now.
Oh my god. I'm still like in the 300s, but I've also been like, a lot of my time has been taken up with playing stuff, watching and playing stuff with Ray and
fine. That's and, perfectly fine.
You know, so like,
that's awesome.
But I'm still loving the game. Like, sure, I still too. Log on and do the daily adventure. I do a little bit of leveling here and there. Like,
yeah.
I'm a very casual Night Manager player at the moment, but I'm still loving crap.
Yeah, how did that happen?
I don't know.
Let's remember, folks, and because it happened on this podcast,
it did.
Sherlock is the one that told me about Night Manager.
Yep. And now you have like surpassed me by
600 levels.
600 levels.
And the thing is, I was considering maybe going for 1,000 today while Double Thursday is still on.
Yeah.
I could easily get it if I wanted.
Yeah.
So I haven't decided whether I'm going to do it or not. Like, part of me wants to do it, but I was playing so much last night to get to 900 that I was like, I don't know.
I I was bummed. I missed out on the Ezreal fight. Apparently that happened overnight.
Yeah, yeah, he got beated.
So I missed out on
three. So we don't get to beat Embrico. Embrico will forever. Well, no, you beat Embrico. I'll never get to beat him.
Yeah, I was on Henning.
Henning. Kurt Henning, Mr. Name? Perfect.
That's Hennig.
I know. It's close, though. Let me make my joke, okay?
Mr. Perfect was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, but apparently Bob disagrees.
Bob does not think Mr. Perfect was awesome.
Bob does not like Mr. Perfect. Okay.
Bob says, I am more perfect than Mr. Perfect. So, you know. But yeah, level 900 now.
I'm actually happy this happened because this means like in a week or 10 days, the Dark Tower is going to come back.
I know. And
get
I
all know. The freaking resources again.
I know. We're just going to get 3,000 diamonds. It's going to be good.
That is if they don't rebalance it. They could rebalance it to nerf it a little bit. I hope they don't, but.
They would never.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did, at least a little
bit. Yeah, they might. They might. It's possible.
And somebody turned on the Xbox.
Apparently. I did. By accident. I bumped it. I'm a terrible person. So, yeah. Sonar Islands, not so much.
It's, yeah. Yeah. Meh.
Moving on. The MLB stream recap. So, I just recently did one of my accessibility previews of MLB 21 of the show. And here's the interesting thing about MLB 21, the show. It's not perfect. It's however, when I was doing the recap at the end of the stream, it struck me that I had a lot more positive things to say than negative things.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
They'd be excited to get it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing more of it with a couple of modifications next time. Got some good tips from Liam this morning about how to... or about what to do to help me out here. Like, you can increase the pitching window. And, you know, people were saying lower the crowd during my stream. And, like, mentally, I didn't want to. But
then you heard firsthand.
I am
going to
cave and do it. I am going to cave and do it because
now you heard the result of.
Yeah, I heard why you do it.
Yeah.
I mean, with the crowd lowered. You can hear the pitcher, well, I guess some pitchers because they all have different animations, but you can hear the pitcher step into their throws.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the equivalent of being able to hear the release. It's not the same thing, but I mean, it's, you know, it's going to be something that's right on that time
frame. It's helpful.
It's very helpful. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to lower the crowd. I'm going to increase the pitching window. And I was actually surprised that Liam doesn't use guest pitch anymore. I thought he would, but he doesn't.
I thought he would too.
And then we're going to play some more MLB. So,
yay.
I don't know when. Like, I am going to do it. I promise I'll do it. I'll bring it back. But goodness gracious.
It's hard when you only have like a few days.
Yeah. I had to cut down my streaming schedule because of new work thingies that I still can't talk about. And as a result, though, it means that all the content that I want to do, I have to
binge
try to pack. Like.
We can't talk about that.
That's right. Wait, still like, how did you know it was binge pipe? Oh, God. but yeah, because of that, it means that all the content that I want to do is difficult to put into a single week.
Yep.
But I'll do the best I can. That's all I can promise is I will do it. I am going to bring it back. I just can't exactly guarantee when.
Yeah.
Hopefully it should be soon, but I just can't say exactly when because I don't know. But anyway, the point of this is that MLB went very well. It does a couple things really, really awesomely. The initial configuration wizard is actually kind of narrated while you're setting certain features up, while you're choosing what type of pitching type you want, what type of hitting type you want, throwing type, fielding type. All that stuff is actually not narrated in the sense that it's not like TTS narrated. It's not done for the blind. It's just kind of, they give you an overview of what each setting does. And that's enough for that, you know, in that case. So,
yeah,
that's helpful. It doesn't cover everything we need now that I know those additional tips from Liam about the pitching slider and all that stuff. It doesn't cover everything we need, but it does cover the basics. Like, it is good to know that as a new, like if you get MLB 21 brand new and you want to jump into a game, even if you haven't adjusted the crowd or the pitching slider yet, at least you as a blind person will be able to set auto fielding to on without basically much help at all, with a little bit of OCR and basically without much help in that.
Yep.
So it does make certain things easier. Road to the Show is neat. So I didn't know. So Liam told me that apparently they've been doing this for years. So I listen to this as a positive, but it's because I haven't played MLB in a long time. When you start MLB the Show, you actually never have to modify the created character. It actually just has one named Joe Random, and it's just like a default character. But if you're blind, who the heck cares?
Yeah.
You know? So that's great as far as I'm concerned. And I don't worry about cosmetics. I don't worry about like which type of play. In fact, everything about what type of player you want to be is decided in conversations via dialogue that OCRs super well.
Yeah.
Like really, really well. I can read all the conversation and all the choices clearly. Right. So that stuff is fine. Other than that, I don't have to mess with it at all. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I do miss having my Brandon Cole player because they actually do have my name.
You still can. You can change. You can go in and change all that if you want to.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I can figure out how to do it with OCR and stuff, because I don't know. I'm just worried those menus will be super complicated and I'll never figure it out.
Liam did it. He is Big Daddy Irvin.
Oh my god, really? Okay.
Because they don't have Liam in there, but
okay. I'll have to do that then, because I know for a fact
you can have Brandon Cole again.
Yeah, I'll have to do that then, because I know for a fact they have both halves of my name, because way back when I was playing MLB years and years ago, Misty actually did it for me. She made me a Road to the Show character, and I actually had Brandon Cole. And I say it that
Brandon
way,
Brandon Cole.
That's how Matt Vesgersian pronounces it. Mm-hmm. Brandon Cole. So, yeah, I'll have to modify his name. If nothing else, I'll modify his name.
Yeah.
So he's me. Yeah, man. It's really neat. Road of the Show was fun. The podcasts in Road of the Show are cool.
I like those.
What I like about them is they kind of clearly, I would say, maybe this is wrong, but I think it's fair to say that this idea was influenced by NBA 2K. Do you think?
Oh, yeah.
You think that's accurate?
I'd say that's pretty accurate, yeah.
Because it seems like they took the NBA approach of giving the people that were doing these like the outline of what they were supposed to convey, but not necessarily giving them scripts, so they got to do it. Because it sounds real, you know?
It's very natural.
Yeah. Yeah, the delivery is very real sounding. So I think what they did was they told them, you know, this is what you're supposed to convey in this segment, but just go. And as long as you convey that, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And they just let him go. And that feels great. I like that.
It does.
I mentioned on the stream, I hope other people have noticed this too, because I certainly have. And maybe it's because I've been away from it for so long, but there are, even if you don't think there are improvements to the commentary. Certain commentary orders have been improved. I've found the game is now better at commentating things that happen while it was saying something else.
Yeah.
When they come back to what's going on, they recap what just happened while they were talking better than they used to, I think.
Yeah. I noticed that too. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's neat. I like the addition of Heidi. I don't know if she was around for the, like before this, but Heidi's cool. Even though she totally dissed me, she's cool. But I like the kind of cutaway to that while you're playing. I like that. You know, it's very broadcasty, and I like it.
Yep.
NBA does the same thing, and you know, it's good. It's something that they would do, so I like it. Yeah. There's just a lot of the DualSense, by the way. It doesn't do as much for like blind players as Madden does, but I still like what it does. I still like the feel of hits, mm-hmm. the crack of the bat. You can feel that, and it's nonsense. Like it's awesome, especially when you get a really big one. Especially yeah. Like even the ones that break your bat.
Oh wow!
They feel awesome.
That's cool.
Like I've never been so happy to get a pop up.
You know? You know what else has been using vibrations? Is Pokemon Sword and Shield use vibrations for certain things, and that's weird to me because, like,
that's weird. Okay,
the Switch is the first console that Pokemon's been on that has had vibration support, so it's really strange.
Even for, like, because the Wiimote has vibration support, but then
yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about, like, a main series Pokemon game.
Okay,
because there were spinoffs and stuff on other consoles, but before Sword and Shield, Pokemon's always been on handhelds.
Yeah, that's right. That's, you know what? I forget. Wait, what about, so you're saying that Sun and Moon,
those Sun and Moon were not on the 3DS.
Those were on the 3DS. Oh, okay. Okay. Man, I do not have my Pokemon straight. Okay. But yeah, you know, overall, I'm enjoying MLB. I'm going to play it more. I'm going to do the things that I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
Because I recognize that it is going to be better.
Liam's got a good balance, though, too, where, like, you can still hear the crowd. It's just...
Yeah, you can. But it's just, like, there's certain moments in MLB, at least when I used to play MLB in the past, there's certain moments where the crowd has meant a lot to me. Like, the crowd has absolutely fed into my intensity of the moment. Like, in those moments that MLB does, where when it's late game, and, like, the score is on the line, like, the tying runner is on second or third, and the game's almost over.
Yeah.
And you could tie this thing in. MLB is great at bringing up the crowd for those moments. And I dislike the fact that I will feel that less because the crowd will be quieter.
Yeah.
I know that's I know that might sound like a simple thing, but it's always been, the crowd has always been a part of MLB to me, so I don't like it, but I'm going to do it because I think I've now seen that if I want to play MLB, which ultimately I do, that's the way to play it right now. So I'm going to do it.
Yep.
But yeah, you know, I'm happy about it. I wish it had more. I wish it had narration. You know, of course I do. But ultimately, MLB is more positive than negative. So,
yep.
Yeah. Even the soundtrack is good. Like, even the music they put in it this year is good.
For the most part, there's still some duds. I don't know if there's a way to disable things on a track by track.
I don't know. Some games do that. Some don't. So I don't know.
Yeah. There's some duds in there, but. Overall, yeah, it's decent.
Of course, I'll always be biased towards MLB 2007 because that's
so good.
Well, also, I think I told you this a long time ago, Sherlock. Probably right around when we first met, because that was around that time. Well, no, it was a little after that time, but still. MLB 2007 features one song from a band that Misty and I literally know. Like, we know them.
Oh, really?
As people, like, we person to person know that band.
Oh, cool.
It's a band called Embassy. I think we showed you some of their other tracks too.
Yep. I remember.
MLB 2007 features their song Gravity, and it features them because they were just signed by Sony Records when MLB 2007 was finalizing its soundtrack licensing.
Nice.
And they wanted to promote their new artists, so they put them on the 2007 soundtrack.
Very cool.
Yeah. We actually brought, I think we brought the case, MLB case to one of their shows once, and they signed the, I think it was either the case or the manual that they signed.
Nice.
Sadly, they're no longer a band anymore.
Yeah.
One of them passed away.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and the others are off doing things, though. Like, one of them is working with another musician. One of them, his name is Michael, he actually worked with Red for a while, the band Red.
Oh, hey, wow.
Yeah, he co-wrote some of their songs, and he did backing vocals for, I think, either one of their songs or an entire album or something like that. It was a pretty big deal when it happened. So
yeah,
yeah. So I miss those guys, but anyway. So I'm biased because we know them, but this soundtrack's pretty good too.
And it's got some Foo Fighters in there, which I'm
happy
about.
Yeah, yeah. We actually caught that in the stream last time. So. Let's see. Next up in accessibility news, I wanted to really quickly promote the fact that I was on another podcast this past Monday. Well, we recorded on Monday. It actually was released yesterday. It was called the LAN Parties Podcast, and this was a really cool deal because one of the co runners of this podcast is a gaming journalist. So he has a lot of like he's kind of, I don't know if he would be considered like big in games media. I don't know exactly, but I know he's done games journalism for a while, and he has a lot of, I guess a lot of the people that listen to his podcasts are journalists as well. So it was really cool to be on a show like that, because hopefully, I guess the idea that I'm hoping for here is that, the games media recognizes more than what they have so far, the impact of The Last of Us 2 on the blind community, on the total blind community.
Yeah.
That was kind of my goal with that. So hopefully that happens. I can tell you that the show has gotten a decent amount of attention so far, so I'm happy about that. It was a good show. It was a good interview. It was about an hour-long show, I think. About an hour long. And you can listen to it right now on the LAN Parties Podcast, which, as far as I know, is available basically everywhere. So everywhere podcasts are sold.
I was going to say that.
that's that thing we do. That's that thing. It's the same page thing that we do all the freaking time. We don't even try. We don't even try to do this stuff, guys.
Nope.
We don't even try. We don't have to try. The way it is. Nope. Let's see. So that's all I have written down. Any additional rants and or tangents that we'd like to have before? Let me see. Level 900. I already did that.
Yep.
I tried Voice Blast, and I actually am a fan of that game.
Yeah, I thought that might be up your alley.
It's a fun thing to do, kind of on a, just when you have a few minutes kind of basis. Yeah. And I like it because I like how they use clips of celebrities during the game itself. Like when you win, there's certain clips of people being victorious with words, like, or if you draw, there's clips of like from movies where people are like, oh, it's 50%, 50-50, you know.
Yeah.
I like the cleverness of the use of clips. And I've actually been better at it than I suspected. I was able to identify some celebrities, not necessarily just by their voice, but sometimes by things that they said. Like I just recently picked out Jake Gyllenhaal, not because I recognized his voice necessarily, because only I haven't heard him in too many of his movies, but I recognized that I remember that he played the Great Gatsby in the film adaptation of that, and he actually read the audiobook too. He was talking about it in the clip that they used. He was talking about Gatsby. I was like, oh, that's probably Jake Gyllenhaal. Lo and behold, I was right. So
nice.
It turns out that as long as I keep my trivia memory intact, that I can identify them. Sometimes it is by voice. Sometimes it's by just knowledge of what they've done and who they are based on that. So, you know, it's fun. Voice Blast is cool. I like it.
Indeed.
Let's see. Our choice script adventure that we're working on together as a community is developing. I'm not going to say it here because if you're on the stream, you already know it. And if you're not, if you weren't there, then you get to wait. But we have developed pretty much the premise, like where the story is leading to. We've developed that now. And we have
really neat idea, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have plot twists, folks. We have plot twists, and I like them a lot. I'm looking forward to writing that stuff, and especially, I imagine some of the writing there is going to depend on things that you do. You know, I'm not going to say much more, I guess, but
yeah,
you know, obviously certain aspects are going to change based on what you've done. So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really excited about it. I think this is going to be, once it's done, it's going to be really neat adventure that we have created together as a chat. I've also considered going back in, probably on my own time. What's that? Going back in and adding some stuff that I wanted to add in the beginning and didn't, because I don't know. It's like my flair to do stuff like this. Like, so I talked about when we first started making this thing, I talked about throwing in a little bit of randomness. So the first thing that happens to your character in this game is you burst awake. You're like falling asleep and you burst awake and you shout an answer out to a question you were looking at. And right away, I was like, you know what I could do? I could make it so the thing that you shout at the beginning of the game each time is different.
Yeah.
And I actually know how to do that now because I looked into it. I did the research. Nice. So I know how to do it. Now, I didn't do it when we were making the game, when we were starting the work, for two reasons. Number one, because I wanted to get started. Number two, because Chaosbringer said it'd be a pain. But knowing how to do it, I can tell you right now that for me personally, who wants to do it, it isn't a pain. It's actually, it's a couple more lines of code, but I know how to do it. I know what to do, and I want to do it. I think I'm probably going to end up doing it.
Nice.
And I can make it say as many things as I want it to say.
Oh, cool.
Like I could add like 20 fake answers to questions like Caligula as you jump awake, or like Jack Black. I don't know. I come up with a bunch of crazy answers. Maybe like an
jackal.
Easter egg answer
jackal.
Too.
It's a jackal. Jackal.
Yeah, maybe an Easter egg answer too. Like, I don't know. And also, I thought about doing the same thing, and I mentioned this on the stream when we first were getting started, about making the name of your professor also random. Because what I was thinking was, guys, you're giving me all these great suggestions for what the professor's name should be. What if we use all of them?
Yeah.
And we just make it random. I could do that too. And I may do that. The problem with that one, though, is I don't necessarily remember all of the suggestions. I remember a couple of them, but I don't remember all of them. There was a lot of really good ones, too. I know that Oak with two Ks was one of them. I believe Snert was one.
Snert.
Professor Snert. there's a couple other ones. I don't remember all of them, though, so I don't know if I'll do that necessarily, but I think I will definitely do the random opening, because that's just funny to me.
Yeah,
that's just a me thing to do. Like,
oh yeah,
I like stuff like that. Let's see, other tangents, any other tangents? I think I'm out of tangents. This doesn't happen.
Oh my god!
Usually we can tangent for hours.
I know, right?
I don't think I have anything else.
Ray and I are talking about doing a cool thing, but I don't know how much of it I want to say, just in case it doesn't work. But she got a super cheap capture card, so she's just like, oh, if this doesn't work, I'm only out like $20. So it's like,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, okay.
But we've been playing the story of Pokemon Sword together on our respective copies of the game.
Yeah.
So I've been doing screen share via Discord so she can see my screen, and she's playing at the same time. She's thinking about possibly, if she can figure out a way to do it, to show both of our screens.
Oh, cool. It's a simulcast.
Streaming it, like a simulcast type of deal.
Yeah, that's a
and
cool idea.
Just, she thought, you know, maybe that might be entertaining to watch, so.
Yeah, I think that'd be doable, too, as long as you had...
I don't know if that'll end up working, but it's the thing we've been tossing around since, like, yesterday or day before, so. Yeah,
I think it's doable, because all you'd really have to do is have the capture source, and then of course size that to be like one half of the screen, and then the window capture for Discord on the other half.
Yep.
So that should work.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a neat idea. I like it.
Yeah. Yep.
Alrighty then, folks. I guess we're done tangenting.
Indeed.
You know what this means, though. This means that sometime during the outro, there's going to be like an 8-minute tangent. This happens.
Yeah. I mean, it happened last week.
Yeah, it sure did. Sure did. You're going to remember three more things you wanted to mention.
Yep.
But those were worthwhile things to mention, though. Like the Zoom thing on the PS5 was definitely worth it. All right. Anyway, let's do our outro and get out of here for the week. This has been episode 82 of the Breakdown Walls podcast.
You are listening to Breakdown Walls.
Oh, man. It has been a good show. Like I said, I told you guys we had a lot to talk about this time. A surprising amount of things to go over, and I was happy about that. Tomorrow is Mortal Kombat Day, so you know that we'll be talking about that next week. You know that.
Man, Mortal Kombat. I can't wait.
I'm super excited. I'm down for it.
I am too.
You know what? Here's a little mini tangent for it. It's not going to take long. Here's a little thing. There actually is a thing that's the first 7 minutes of Mortal Kombat the movie is available right now. And you can watch it on HBO Max, but it's not, it doesn't have audio description. That doesn't scare me that it doesn't have audio description, because it's not like, it doesn't play the movie and then cut you off. It's not like that. It's the equivalent of a trailer. It even says rated R at the end of it. So I didn't watch that. I watched Alana Pierce reacting to it, so I get some idea of what was happening. And it's just, even the first 7 minutes, dude, I'm ready for it.
Yeah, apparently it's the scorpion.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what it is.
Nice.
And it's awesome. It sounds great. If you can get over your dislike of the accented "get over here," then...
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's gonna be fine. Like, this movie's gonna be great.
It's gonna be fine.
I wonder if they're gonna make Cole a playable character in the next Mortal Kombat. Probably not, but
I think they are.
You think?
I think they will. Yeah. I think what better way to announce the third combat pack than to say, here's combat pack 3, and it features Cole Young. I think that's perfect.
That would be really neat. I don't necessarily think that we're going to have a third combat pack, but
I think we will. I think we will. I think we will, because they haven't yet done what the last two games have done when they're done adding to them. Where the last two games NetherRealm has made has added a set of new trophies / achievements when they're done adding to the game. When they're absolutely done. They add achievements for doing fatalities as the DLC character and stuff like that, or winning their stories, stuff like that. Achievements related to the packs that they produced.
Okay.
And they haven't done that with MK11 yet. So I think
that was the pattern. Okay.
That it's been the pattern the past two games. So
okay.
So I think they're not done yet. So I don't know. I guess we'll see. But anyway, I knew it would happen. I knew it. Thank you guys for listening to the show. We appreciate it. We love doing this every week. Feel free to throw feedback at us, comments, questions, things you'd like to talk about, all that stuff. We'd love to hear it. We know people are listening. The numbers are there.
Yep.
So feel free to interact with us. We would be glad to interact with you as well. So we know we'll be talking about Mortal Kombat next week, but who knows what else will happen in this crazy era of gaming news. We're coming up on, not yet, I mean, we're not there yet, but we're coming close to E3 now. We're just over a month away from E3, which will be an all-digital show, and you best believe...
And Nintendo is going to be there this year.
Nintendo is going to be there. Oh, snap. Well, you best believe we will be covering the crap out of some E3.
Indeed. So,
That's the future of the show right there, right? You know, just E3 coverage, left and right.
Yep.
But for now, thanks for listening. This has been the Breakdown Walls podcast. I'm Brendan Cole. He's Sterlock, and we will see you guys on next week.
Good stuff.